Okay, we'll call this meeting of the House Finance Committee back to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 1:34 p.m. on Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. And present today, we have Representative Ortiz, Representative Pruitt, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Wilson, Vice Chair Guerra, Co-Chair Seaton, Representative Tilton, Representative Gren, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Thompson, and myself, Co-Chair Foster. And before we start, just a reminder, if folks could please mute their cell phones. So today, we will have a second hearing on HB 267, which is release hunting fishing records to municipalities by Representative Edgman. It's my intent, if it is the will of the committee, to move HB 267 from House Finance today. And then after that, we will continue to take public testimony on House Joint Resolution 23, which is proposing amendments to the Alaska Constitution relating to the Alaska Permanent Fund by the House Finance Committee. And time permitting, we will return to HB 285, which is the mental health budget, and HB 286, which is the operating budget. So with that, our first piece of business, HB 267 by Representative Edgman. And we last heard this bill on February 27th, 2018. At that meeting, we completed public testimony, and my office did not receive any amendments by the March deadline. And so we have at the table with us here Mr. Tim Clark, aide to Representative Edgman. And I also believe, let's see here, we will have available for questions the Sports Fish Division Director, Tom Brookover, and Borough Manager of the Lake in Penborough. And so with that, Mr. Clark, if you could put yourself on the record, and if you have anything you'd like to add, and then we'll go over to Fish and Game.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Clark. I'm staff to Representative Edgman. Just to refresh the committee, HB 67 gives municipalities that levy taxes on fish and game guiding activities within their jurisdictions, access to records that hunting and sport fishing guides submit to state agencies. And the municipalities would use these records to cross-reference such activities within their borders to verify taxes payable.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell me specifically what documents you're talking about? I may have like the transporter activity report, some of the logbooks, but could you tell me specifically what reports that you expect Fish and Game to turn over to the municipalities?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Wilson, when it comes to hunting activities, it would be the hunt reports that the guides submit to the Big Game Commercial Services Board, which rests in the Department of Commerce. And when it comes to the sport fishing activities, it would be the sport fish logbooks that sport fishing guide operations provide to the Sport Fish Division in the Department of Fish and Game.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
So we're not talking about commercial fishermen here. We're just talking about sport fishermen. And then what was the name of the hunt report?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, I believe it's simply referred to as a hunt report. There may be a more technical term for it in commerce. There are transporter reports as well, but I don't believe that they have the same relevance to the needs of the municipalities.
A follow-up.
Follow-up.
So it would be the hunt record, and then, so we're not talking about the transporter activity report? That would not be something that would be disclosed?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, that could be something that Nathan Hill, borough manager for the Lake and Peninsula Borough, who is online for questions, could answer more thoroughly than me. But my understanding is that it's the hunt reports that provide the cross-referencing tool for the municipalities.
Thank you. I just think it's important if we get exactly what reports that we're disclosing, because I'm sure that this may not be the last legislation that we see that wants some type of records that the state has, so we know what's out there. But I can wait to ask the gentleman from Lake and Penn when we get to that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions for Mr. Clark? Seeing no questions, thank you. Mr. Tom Brookover, if you're there, if you could put yourself on the record.
Yes, hello, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tom Brookover. I'm the division director with the Department of Fish and Game, and I am calling in primarily for questions if the committee or committee members have any.
Thank you, Mr. Brookover. Representative Wilson, did you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have a copy of the Fish Guide Logbook, just a blank copy, and vessel registration, and also your 2018 saltwater charter logbook and vessel registration. So do you know what information out of these two documents that they plan on utilizing, and how much more information are we giving that may not really be necessary to be able to collect these taxes?
Through the chair, Tom Brookover. So we assume each municipality may tax a little bit differently, and so the information requested may vary by municipality as well. I suspect there's probably some base information that would be useful, such as number of guides, number of fishing days, number of clients by area. But beyond that, the type of information I assume will vary, and you know, the level of information that we provided municipalities as a result may vary as well. So we may see very detailed requests in some instances, and in other instances we may see some, you know, much less detailed requests. And I think our approach, at least at the onset, would be to provide the information requested and not necessarily provide a blanket that covered all of the information that we're collecting.
So follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow up.
So if I understand you correctly, you're not going to turn over the logbooks as you receive them. The whatever borough it is that's requesting it would write and say, they need A, B, C, and D, you know, and then you would just send kind of like a form back with just that information on it and not anything that's extra that may be in these logbooks. Is that correct?
Through the chair, I think that's correct, at least to start out with. That would be our approach. My understanding of the bill language is that there's nothing that would prevent us from turning the forms over in their completeness, particularly for munis that request information in that level of detail that we're collecting it now, but we would start out with the approach of providing the information the municipality needed and not just providing the logbook pages in their entirety.
And follow-up?
Follow-up.
But if for some reason that they didn't feel that that was sufficient enough, the legislation would require you to send basically just copy the form with all the information in it, even if it's not necessary, and you wouldn't be able to redact or anything if it was things that you really didn't feel comfortable that should go that way. Is that right?
Through the chair, again, as I understand the bill language, it wouldn't prevent us from providing the logbook sheets in their entirety. And in that case, if a municipality requested all of that information, I think we would, you know, we would have some discussion about that level of specificity. But in the end, if the municipality requested that level of information, I think I think we would tend to provide it if the municipality, you know, demonstrated that information was needed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if this is for Mr. Clark, Mr. Brookover, or if you've got someone from a municipality that can answer this question. I'm trying to figure out, based on the conversation that we just had, it sounds like there's a lot of information that can be transmitted to a municipality. And so if I'll ask you, Mr. Clark, maybe you can point to someone, or if this isn't something you can answer. If this information is communicated to a municipality, is there the potential that the municipality would either have to or could share it with, say, the assembly? And at that point, does it become public record?
Mr. Clark.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pruitt, the municipal officials who had received this information are under the same requirements for confidentiality that the state agencies that garner this information are subject to. The municipalities I've spoken with also have very strict sort of chain of custody systems in place in their operations. And lastly, I'd point out that any municipal official would be subject to criminal prosecution if they were to breach that confidentiality according to existing state law.
Okay. Can I follow up?
Follow up.
So, I'm just going to kind of bring kind of our world into it, and you try to relay what the experience might be from theirs. Initially, when we had some conversations related to the gas line, we could sign an NDA. That was the only way we could hear certain information about that gas line. And so, therefore, certain information we were not privy to. But if we did find that NDA, to breach that would put us into some big trouble. Is there, if you have an assembly member who goes to whether it's a borough manager or someone that's in leadership at the borough and really starts pushing them and wanting some additional information, do they have systems in place where that assembly member could receive it, but then that assembly member would need to make sure that they were within that confidentiality or where they can't speak to it? I mean, how do we prevent that kind of leaking out, I guess you'll say?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pruitt, I would defer to the borough manager for Lake and Peninsula Borough, Nathan Hill, to answer that question. But my understanding is that there would not be circumstances under which a borough assembly member would ever be made privy to this information. It would be dealt with solely by the financial officer of that borough responsible for collecting the taxes under borough ordinances. So they at Lake and Penn, I know that they have a lock and key system, and that all this information is very carefully contained. However, if Mr. Hill is online and listening, perhaps he could elaborate on that.
Mr. Hill, if you're there, if you could put yourself on the record.
I can't elaborate a whole lot on what you said just now. Mr. Chair, this is Nathan Hill for the record and manager for the Lake and Peninsula Borough. I generally, in this office, the finance department takes care of the Hunt reports and records, and it isn't shared with me, per se. Although I would also be subject to criminal charges if I was to breach such confidentiality as well, I'm sure. So, in short, I don't have a lot to add to that.
Yeah. Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pruitt, and then Ortiz.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hill. So one follow-up on that. And based on the kind of the conversation that that Representative Wilson was just having, I mean, is there anything that we should be considering about, I mean, what would you need from some of this? I think all you really need is the information to be able to apply your tax. And, of course, this bill is going beyond that. This bill allows for you to request additional information. I mean, what else could you potentially use that additional information for beyond the tax, which I think is the intent? And why would you feel the need potentially to do that?
I'm not sure exactly. The information we're interested in is the Hunt Guide reports and the number of days hunted, so that we can apply our taxes to those days. So, and the location, of course, because we want to know whether or not people are in or outside of our boundaries. So, that's what we're interested in receiving.
So, one more question.
One more question. Reverend Pruitt and then Ortiz.
Yeah, thank you. So then based kind of on what you've indicated, do you – could basically a summary of it be sent to you? I mean, is that all that's needed? Say, for instance, you know, X guide or X outfit had X many days – I mean, just so that you have the ability to go to them and directly, is there really the necessity to send you all of that information at, like the bill currently is making available?
Mr. Hill?
The location, the area, the guests and the guides, that's what... That we're looking for the numbers of guests, guides, and the location in the area.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
And of course, the duration of that, the time that they're there, the days that they're there. So that's what our taxes are based around.
Okay, thank you. Further questions? Representative Ortiz withdrew his question. Representative Wilson.
I just have a question if there's somebody from the Big Game Commercial Board, because it's a different forum.
There is the director of sport fish, Mr. Brookover. Are you online?
Mr. Chair, this is Tom Brookover. I'm online. I'm with the Division of Sport Fish and not with the Department of Commerce.
Oh, okay, we have somebody from Commerce here. I misunderstood what you were.
We're not hunting fish. We're hunting animals.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing.
Thank you. So do you require, because I can't find it on the form, that they have to put down where they've been camping and how many days they've been camping? Because all I see is where they've been hunting, what game area they've been hunting, but I don't see anything about that you require where they've actually been camping.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the specific location for each particular hunt, which can be sort of loosely defined, is required. It doesn't necessarily require coordinates of every place they may have made camp in a wider area. As I recall from the last hearing, there was a question about whether the municipalities would be seeking information about where game was taken, which would be a specific location, or whether the municipalities are charging per hunting in that borough. So as the gentleman from Fish and Game mentioned, we would be working with the municipalities to make that determination of what specific information they needed.
And a follow-up?
A follow-up, Representative Wilson.
So your intent would be pretty much the same as far as not necessarily sending the actual hunt record that you have, but to just fill in, just give the numbers, address, whatever, and then they would just utilize those. And they're not going to be asking for the transporter activity report. It will just be from the hunt record. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the way the bill is written, my understanding is similar to Fish and Game's, that the hunt records and transporter activity reports could be made available to municipalities. However, my reading is that the municipality requests the records for the purpose of verifying taxes payable, which could be that we would only be obliged to send them the information that was relevant to taxes. Our fiscal note and our intent is to create a report that would generate from our licensing database that information, which may need to be customized somewhat because each municipality may have different criteria. But our goal would be to give them everything that they need, but only what they need.
And one other question from the sports fish. Sir, one concern I had heard is that possibly you wouldn't think that people would be reporting, especially on the sport fishing portion of it, as much, because now the information is going to be utilized for something besides just fish and game. Do you have a concern that might happen, or Do you think handing it over really won't have any influence on the kind of information you currently receive?
Through the chair, Tom Brookover. Thanks for the question, because the purpose of the logbook program that we have is to provide information for managing the sport fishery. That is a very different purpose than the purpose for which this bill is seeking, which is related to municipal tax records and checking those or enforcing those. So we do have some questions and possible concern anyway that with that different purpose, it may lead to different levels of reporting or changes in reporting. It does give us some concern. This data is important for us for managing fisheries. Our area managers use it to gauge effort and catch and harvest of various species from year to year. And we use the information to provide our comments and analysis to the Board of Fisheries regarding board proposals that affect sport fishing and particularly guided sport fishing. So because of that difference in use, that does give us some concern if guides start reporting differently or not reporting because of impacts to their operations, then that will potentially change the the use of the data. We want the support of the guides for this program. We need their support in order to collect good information. So we want the guide's support to continue. We don't know if this is going to have an impact in that regard with respect to either quality of the data or guide support for the program. But that guide support is important. It's important for the logbook program, the reporting program itself. It's also important for guide registration and guide licensing, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Brookover. Representative Wilson?
Well, I'm just concerned because, I had put an amendment forward because I honestly didn't still understand the ramifications of the bill, but I am very concerned that I understand what the boroughs need, and I'm sympathetic to that, but I also am concerned that if we start a program with specific parameters around it and now we're kind of changing that, what kind of negative effect will it have, and then will it make it so that, fish and game aren't able to manage fish? The game part's a little different because they file most of this. These are guides that have to give that information, and I'm not really concerned that they're going to go out there less or not report it because they have a lot more. They know it has to be reported for different reasons, but I'm really concerned if this could negatively impact our fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might just mention that there are several letters of support from sport fish guiding operations accompanying the bill packet, so that most of the indications we've had in terms of direct communication with sport fishing guides is support for the legislation. I'd also mention that the tax levied by the Lake and Peninsula Borough, for example, is very modest at $3 per person per day or $1 per person per day if they're staying at a lodge, in which case I don't think someone would jeopardize the integrity of their operation for amounts of tax obligation that are in no way threatening the viability of their businesses.
Representative Kawasaki, did you have a question earlier?
It was answered. Thanks.
Representative Guerra?
Yeah. This is more of a comment, but tell me if I'm wrong. I just don't see a big concern. You want small municipalities with a very small tax base to be able to collect the money that's due to them. As a sport fisherman, I know that I'm not worried about a sport fisherman talking about what part of a river is hot that day, so they're not going to do that. Everybody knows what rivers have fish in them. So I'm just not worried about information going out that's going to harm a business, and I think on balance, the ability to get accurate records as to within which governmental unit somebody has guided a client. I just think makes sense. On balance, I guess I don't really have a concern with the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Nathan Hill with Lake and Penn, did he have an opportunity? I stepped out for a second. Did you have anything you wanted to say, Mr. Hill?
I don't have a lot to add. I agree with what's being said on the concern. We are interested in information not outside of what we're using to merely collect the taxes. So I think, in short, we've said what we need to say.
Great, thank you. And just for the record, in case I don't know if he put himself on the record, that was Nathan Hill, Borough Manager, Lake and Penn, out in King Salmon. So are there any other Representative Guttenberg?
Well, an observation more than anything else. It seems like the security issue and the confidentiality of the logbooks and whatever is given is consistent from the department to the borough and the treasury departments. If I remember right, some of the issues that the guides raised, they wanted parity. If I'm paying a tax, somebody else needs to pay a tax. And some people might be more casual about it. And the situation just seems like it's the ability. People have to report now. If this little, the taxes, I think you said just in Lake Peninsula was just a cumulative a year was a couple $100,000. If any business out there is going to change their behavior and threaten their licensing or ability to function, then there's another problem out there that should be addressed. I think this is a just an enhancement tool for the borough to just keep checking on what's going on in their area. And I see the security issues taken care of. I think there's a parity issue that this bill deals with. And I haven't yet to see the hiccup in it that in state policy that this changes. So, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further comments or questions of the committee? Seeing none, let's move over to the fiscal notes. Representative Guerra, if you could read those into the record.
Thanks, Chair. House Bill 267 has three fiscal notes. The first is a zero fiscal note from the Department of Fish and Game, Appropriation Wildlife Conservation, Allocation Wildlife Conservation. It's OMB component number 473. The second from the Department of Commerce, Appropriation Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, same allocation, OMB component 2360. It shows a one-time expenditure of $7,700 in receipt services for regulations drafting and minor information technology needs to deal with this. The third is from the Department of Fish and Game, Sport Fisheries, OMB component 464. Also reflects a one-time expenditure for personal services in fiscal year 19 of $9,100, $6,100 coming from the general fund, $3,000 coming from program receipts, from what I can tell, to sort of process the information and tabulate the information for municipalities that will be done by this bill.
Thank you. Representative Kawasaki?
Just a really brief question on that final fiscal note. It says that there will be the $3,000 would be from receipts received by the three municipalities, roughly $1,000 apiece, but the $6,100 in general fund, I'm trying to understand why that's something the state would have to pay for.
Mr. Brookover, is that something you can address?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Tom Brookover. So that would pay for initial startup or initial setup costs in the logbook program and its associated database to basically provide an ability to respond to municipality requests based on area. There are certain geographic areas delineated in the reporting process that businesses and guides report within. Some of those span a number of those span municipal boundaries. So we're going to have to do some work initially to identify municipal boundaries in our database and then associate reporting areas with the different municipalities. and there will likely be other modifications to the database similar to that. In addition to that, we may end up having to make changes to the logbook itself. We don't know yet, but an example there might be a checkbox on logbook pages in terms of identifying the municipality that guy or business operates within for that particular reporting day. So those are just one-time startup costs. We estimate it's going to take one person a couple of weeks to make those changes to enable us to field requests from municipalities for this information.
Thank you.
Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So doesn't the Big Game Commercial Board have the same concern? Because I know in this you put down what game area it is. But I'm pretty sure areas aren't confined based on boroughs, but some kind of different kind of map. So will you have the same type of cost that will be incurred?
Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, yes, that our fiscal note reflects about $5,000 for IT upgrades and changes, and we expect to face the same challenges.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, that was Ms. Sarah Chambers. And are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions, if it is the will of the committee, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 267, version 30LS0808/O from the House Finance Committee, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Object.
And we have an objection. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just want to make sure I put the concerns out there. I think we're asking or giving information that we don't need to be able to still take care of the concerns of the municipalities. And I'm going to look into to see how that's done, because it sounds like both areas can give the information necessary without necessarily giving the logbooks. But more concerning is, it seems like we believe Fish and Game when we're talking about the budget and why they need the money, but then now when they come out and say that this could have a negative impact, we don't even know what that is. And Fish and Game did put a concern out there that they might not get the information that's necessary to be able to manage these areas in which some of this information would come out. And I just think we need to do our due diligence and find out how that would possibly impact these areas as far as opening and closing different areas for fishing and exactly who they don't think will report. Because when we make laws, we put parameters around them, and logbooks were one of those, and now we might be putting that in jeopardy. But with that, I will remove my objection and do more research. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Do we have any further objections? Sure. Representative Seaton?
I'll object just to discuss that issue. I think that the impression I'm getting is that normally there would be a report, but that if there was a discrepancy between what was being reported by a guide, then they might need the actual reports that were submitted to verify that change or to go forward. So I think that both the both of the departments have said that they're planning to do changes to their computer systems so they can identify those and give reports. And so I would presume that the only request for individual logbook entries would be if there was a discrepancy between what the guides had reported as far as the number of days, number of clients, that kind of thing. In which case you might have to have reports to verify. So I just wanted to put that out for consideration. I'm not arguing one point or another, but we hadn't actually discussed it. So,
but just a question real quick.
Representative Wilson.
So would that be an investigation that would be requested by the boroughs to the game board or to Fish and Game, or would that be an investigation that then the borough would take on and whatever cost to go along with that? I mean, that's a good point. It's something I didn't think about, because basically you're saying that even if you got the sheet, you still may not agree with it on what they do. Would there be some kind of authority given to the Burroughs to be able to go and figure out exactly what did happen?
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, a normal course, I think, would be that you are having this information for verification of taxes that were being reported by the guides. If there was discrepancy between those two, then, you know, as a borough, all you have is a report generated, and you have, by two people, you have the report that's generated from the logbooks, and you have a, you know, computer-generated report, how many days and all, and you have the report that was generated from the commercial guide. And so if you are needing to justify those discrepancies or find out where those are coming from, then you would probably have to look at the original report. And I think that that would be something that the municipality would probably talk to either department about on a very case-by-case basis, because my assumption is if the guides know that the reports are going from the department to the municipality, I think they're going to be submitting those same numbers to the municipality, and I doubt that there's going to be very many cases. And that's my reasoning of why you might need a follow-up with a actual report so that you can verify that it wasn't a computer error in the report or something like that. So
just one last thing.
Representative Wilson.
I should have thought about this earlier. So what happens if the logbooks go away? Because as my understanding, they're sunsetting this year. So if the logbooks go away, then basically I'm assuming Fish and Game wouldn't have any information to give, and the boroughs would be kind of back to where they started, correct? Because they couldn't, you know, mandate legislation if those logbooks sunset.
Mr. Clark?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson, that's correct. That's out of our hands as bill sponsors here. If the sport fish log program goes away, then that will be one tool for tax verification purposes for the municipalities that will no longer be available. However, the hunting records for that same purpose would continue to be available.
Got a question, Representative Tilton.
Just on the last discussion, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if there is a discrepancy or a difference of opinion now, I'm just trying to understand. So underneath this bill, the borough would be able to request to actually get the logbook or the data page itself. And what if there was a difference of opinion between the agency and the borough, who is under this bill? It says that the agency has to give it to them.
Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Tilton, maybe I could go at this at a much more simple context. My understanding is that the borough, when provided this information, in many cases is simply following up with a phone call to the guiding operation saying, we have this information that indicates you were carrying on hunting activities within our jurisdiction this year, yet we received no tax filing from you. Given that this, in fact, appears to be the case, would you like to make good on your tax obligation? The Lake and Peninsula Borough has something like 130 registered guiding operations that routinely carry on activities within their jurisdiction. Nearly all of those are non-borough residents, and nearly a full third do not even reside in the state of Alaska. These are state and borough natural resources that have been commodified by these businesses, and the borough feels that it's only fair that they derive some modest financial benefit from the activities being carried on there. Because the boroughs can constitute many thousands of square acres, because there's access under many different means in order to enter into the borough boundaries, they cannot conceivably keep tabs on who's coming and going throughout, say, a summer fishing or hunting season. This is a way for them to access information that documents who's coming and going, and they can then, with that information, follow up with the guiding businesses and prevail upon their professionalism to make good on their tax obligations.
Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the concept. All I was, what my question was, is if there was a difference of opinion between the agency and the borough about whether if the borough decided that something on the report that the agency is putting together that there was something, some discrepancy, and they wanted to go back and actually see that logbook page or that hunting guide page, then under this bill, the agency would have to give that to them, the full logbook page?
Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hilton, yes, that's my understanding, and that when that information was provided to the borough, they would be required to keep that information confidential.
Representative Seaton?
I'll remove my objection.
Any further objections? Okay. Seeing no objection, HB 267, version 30-LS0808/O for Oscar, with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes, is reported out from House Finance Committee. And so we will take a brief at ease just to sign the report. Okay, House Finance back on record at this time. We'll return to public testimony on HJR 23. And just a reminder, we want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to testify. And so public testimony is limited to 2 minutes. But if folks have testimony that's not within the 2 minutes that they're allotted, if they would like, they can also submit a written testimony to House Finance at akleg.gov. Again, that's House Finance at akleg.gov. And also, I'd like to give Representative Seaton the opportunity to make a few comments, and then we'll open it up to public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in our last public testimony, there was a number of statements that seemed to be confused, so I just wanted to put out, there's a fact sheet at the LIOs that we've sent out, and just wanted to go over those a little bit so that everyone, when they're testifying, understands those things. First of all, there were comments about this should go to a public vote, and should this resolution pass with two-thirds of both the House and the Senate, it would go to a public vote on the November general election. And currently the PFD is only in law, that means in Alaska statutes, and it's not in the Constitution. The current formula for calculating the PFD was passed in 1982 by the legislature, not by a vote of the people. The current formula for calculating the or the principal of the permanent fund cannot be spent, and the PFD is currently paid from the earnings reserve account, and that is the same account that would be maintained in the current CS that it would be paid from, but it would be in the Constitution instead of held outside the Constitution.
And the earnings reserve can be used for any purpose, and that only takes a majority vote of the legislature to do that. And it's the same way with the PFD. And Alaskans have never been able to vote on to constitutionalize the PFD. And without protection, future legislatures can appropriate any amount, including the full amount of the ERA, which would drain the fund and could therefore eliminate the PFD. The CS that we have before us for House Joint Resolution 23 would protect the ERA by limiting appropriations to a sustainable level of 4.75 annually. And the legislature, that would be automatic because the legislature shall appropriate that to the general fund. And then from there, the legislature may appropriate 33% of that 4.75% draw to dividends, leaving the rest in the general fund for public services. And shall implies mandated, and may implies subject to appropriation. And if you're mandating an expenditure from the general fund, that would likely gender lawsuits regarding constitutionality of appropriation authority, et cetera. And the total fund is estimated to earn 6.5% annually, so the amount of the PFD under the CS would increase over time as the fund would. So I just wanted to put those facts out, not lobbying one way or another, but so people know that a House joint resolution on a constitutional amendment must go before the people, and it would go at the first general election after a resolution would pass by two-thirds vote in both the House and the Senate, and it does not require any action by the governor. It goes automatically to the general election ballot that passed. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that people, when they're testifying, had the basis of factual information on where we were. So, thank you.
Great, and thank you, Representative Seaton. So just to reiterate, if this were to pass by two-thirds of both bodies, this resolution, then it would go to a vote of the people. And I know that that was something that came up yesterday a few times. And Representative Thompson?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just wanted to confirm we had 45 people call in last night, and they have given public testimony. If any of those repeat today, that would be letting them have another public testimony. We're going to try to limit it to new people only today?
That's correct. And I'm looking at the list right here. At this point, I don't believe any of the folks on this list here have already testified, but if we come up to that, we'll limit that. Thank you, Representative Thompson. So with that, we will open up public testimony on HJR 23. And I guess first of all, before we go to the phone line, is there anybody in the room here who would like to testify? I don't see anybody. So we will take these in order in which people called in. So first we will go to George Pierce in Kasiloff. George, if you could state your name and your affiliation, and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Thanks for taking my call and my testimony. My name is George Pierce, and I'm calling from Kasiloff, Alaska. And I'd like to thank the Kenai LIO for the great help that it's, the help and services that they provide. The ladies out there are very, very helpful, so I'd like to thank them for helping. And I would be up there now, but I'm kind of sick and under the weather, so I couldn't make it. But I reject HJR 23. With the PFD in the Constitution that is cut, HJR 23 kills the original PFD. It changes the payout forever. It will change and give government the biggest share. This isn't preserving it. It still looks like a raid to me. This reminds me of 20% for Alaskans and 80% for government to use. It looks like you want more than three-fourths of it, of the earnings forever. We need to protect the PFD with the current formula. we need a public hearing on protecting the PFD, you know, Alaska Citizens Input. In HDR 23, I reject that in any given year, legislators is permitted with withdrawal more than the draw rate. We are not fooled by this. You want to protect the PFD on election year, but the last 3 years you took it and we told you not to, so you did it anyway. Try looking out for the Alaskans and leave it alone. Keep it in the original form. You can't be trusted, so just leave it as is and don't change the Constitution.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does the committee have any questions for Mr. Pierce? I don't see any questions. We'll move over to Anchorage, Tim Federico, if you could state your name and your affiliation and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, my name is Ken Federico, and I represent my three kids and my five grandkids.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Please proceed.
I'm a little hard of hearing here, so I have it on speakerphone. Can you guys still understand what I'm saying?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, fantastic. All right, anyway, I'm actually against HAR 23. I mean, this bill is so out of sync with what the majority of Alaskans want. The POMV, I mean, there's a death blow eventually down the road to the permanent fund. At least that's my opinion. You know, the percentages are pretty outrageous. 67% goes to the government, to 33% goes to the people's PFDs. That's a little bit unsided there. I mean, I love the way it was written, shall when it comes to government, may when it comes to PFDs. We all wrote this are not representing Alaskans at all. I mean, the legislature told residents that the budget is cut to the bone. I call horse fucking on that. Our university budget is getting close to $1 billion a year. No wonder when we have over 40 people making $415,000 to $275,000 plus $50,000 in benefits each. I mean, the governor makes $140,000 a year plus benefits, yet a division director in the administration under the governor is making $193,000 plus benefits. I mean, go figure. I mean, the troopers are driving $60,000 SUVs, yet in the Palmer DOT yard, 30 trooper cars are just sitting in the yard. Commercial limited entry permits with the landing tax does not cover the cost. The state pays about $15 million to prosecute these fisheries. So commercial fisheries are actually subsidized by the state and get to sell 85% of the resources too. Go figure. I mean, our bush schools, you might have four or five schools within 150 miles of each other, right? And they all have principals and vice principals. Let's go to a regional principal and have just assistant principals at the other schools instead. Let's save us some money. I mean, with SB 91, we are hiring 263 POs to supervise people who don't even bother to show up to court, plus living expenses, arrangements, vehicles. Go figure. I mean, you get my drift. Smallest population in the country and the highest per capita in state spending. I mean, what are we paying you guys for? Three special sessions last year? Go figure. And also, I just in closing, don't minimize social media. I am the chair of the South Central Alaska Dipnetters Association, and I have a mailing list on my email of over 200 people, and they stretch from Nome to Kodiak. And I'm also on Facebook. I have a couple hundred people, too. And so it's like, you know, I haven't reached out there yet, but I mean, this is the Alaskans are going to go ahead and give you a kickback on this here. You guys need to stand up and represent Alaskans, not just as a state government. I mean, we need to cut this government back. It's just out of control. Other than that, I said, guys, I know you're going to be taking a beating today as you did yesterday, whatever, but I mean, deal with it. I mean, that's what you're getting paid for.
Thank you, Mr. Federico. Are there any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions. Thank you for calling in. Next up, we have Brenda Rhodes from Anchorage. Brenda, if you could state your name and your affiliation, proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Brenda Rhodes, and I'm just representing myself and my grandchildren. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska, and I am against HJR 23. I don't believe that this needs to be added to the Constitution. If it should have been added, it would have been back in the 80s when it was first created. So I am fully against this move. We do need to get back to the original formula and get a fiscal plan together for the state and a realistic one. And that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Rhodes. And do we have any questions? I don't see any questions. Ella Lubin over in Sitka, if you could state your name and your affiliation, proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Ella Lubin. I'm a junior attending Sitka High School right now. And I'm testifying in favor of HJR 23. Because I believe that this is a resource wealth that comes from public lands, which all Alaskans share and therefore all serve to reap the benefits of. It's in our state's best interest to maintain the permanent fund dividend so that it continues to be a benefit of staying in Alaska and a benefit towards young people. I know as a lifelong Alaskan myself, I utilize the PFD as savings for college, as do many of my peers. And it's also a vital income source for many Alaskans. According to a University of Alaska Anchorage's Institute for Social and Economic Research, income from the PFD lifts 15,000 to 25,000 Alaskans above the poverty line each year. I think that that means that's just another reason why the PFD is extremely important to maintain for generations to come of Alaskans. I also think that this is a one solution of many that could help us get out of this financial time of uncertainty, and so it's also extremely important to constitutionalize the PFD. Also, I believe that it's a rainy day account, a rainy day fund, and that this is our rainy day. This is a time where we need to come up with financial and fiscal solutions to this uncertain time. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lubin. Does the committee have any questions? Representative Ortiz?
Thank you, Ms. Lubin, for your testimony. Just a quick question. Did you participate in the recent DDF competitions that took place?
Yes, Representative Ortiz, I did.
I'm sure you were as effective as your sisters. Good to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? I'm not seeing any. We will move over to Gary McDonald in Anchorage. If you're there, if you could put your name and your affiliation on the record.
Yeah, it's on behalf of myself. I'm just calling from Anchorage, and I just wanted to say I'm against this bill, and I just hope that the legislators will leave our dividends alone, give us back our other dividends, and if you guys need to take money out of the one side that you could take out of, the 50% side or whatever, take some out and get on with business. But that's mainly it. I'm against it, and we need to give our full dividends out to the people, and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Are there any questions of the committee? I don't see any. We will move over to the Anchorage LIO, Laura Bonner. If you're there, if you could put your name and your affiliation on the record.
Hello. My name is Laura Bonner, and I live in Anchorage. And I generally support the concept of enshrining the PFD in the Alaska Constitution because otherwise this legislature or future ones could not pay a PFD because it's only in statute. I actually preferred the first proposed version over the work draft submitted by the Finance Committee. I feel the best version is SJR 1. But that one is not moving very quickly through the process. I believe the word draft could be amended to be more acceptable to Alaskans. I suggest that Section 2C change the verbiage from the legislature may to the legislature shall, and to further that sentence, shall appropriate at least 33%. That's adding the words at least. Or changing the percentages to a higher percentage. I think that it's important to enshrine the PFD in the Constitution because it has become such an important part of our economy. and I hope that this resolution moves through the process. And by the way, thank you for opening public testimony up for today, and thank you, Representative Seaton, for your comments, because I heard a lot of people that misunderstood what this really is, an amendment to the Constitution, and it will be voted by the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bonner. We've got a question from or comment from Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Ms. Bonner, for the testimony. I agree with you that the word should be shall. I think the sponsor of the bill wanted the word shall pay. We're stuck right now trying to figure out what the legal advice is going to be. Yesterday's advice was that we could not put the word shall into the Constitution, which I think threw a number of people for a loop. But I understand why you want shall. It's just so far the legal advice is that we can't use that word, so we're trying to figure things out. And I appreciate your comment on the if we have more money, the at least language is not something that has escaped my attention either. So thank you.
I did read. I was able to read the legal opinion that was submitted by Mr. Gardner, so I do understand that may and shall should have constitutional issues. I'd rather see shall. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions for Ms. Bonner? I don't see any. Thank you for calling in. Also at the Anchorage LIO there, Liz Vasquez, if you could put your name and your affiliation on the record.
Yes, my name is Liz Vasquez. That's V as in Victor, A as in Apple, Z as in Zebra, Q-U-E-Z, Z as in Zebra, and I'm representing myself and my community. This legislation doesn't protect the permanent fund dividend check. In fact, it does the opposite because you have, as just recently discussed, the May language. M-A-Y, it doesn't say requires, it doesn't say shall. So it is total discretion. It's upon the discretion of the legislators to decide to give us the permanent fund dividend check. Now, there's a history as to why this was set up, and one of the important reasons was to enable the people of Alaska to partake and share in the wealth of the state. Because after 3 years of having this abundance of money coming in from the TAPS oil pipeline, it was very obvious that whatever the legislators got, they would spend. And so some of our leaders, including Governor Jay Hammond and others, decided that in order to ensure that the people would get part of this largesse, of benefits of our resources, that they set up this permanent fund dividend check. The present formula has worked for the past 30 years. I would not tamper with it right now, although it's obvious that it has been because the governor capped it the first year and the legislature capped it the second year. It is the opposite of what most economists would argue should be done in a situation where we have a serious recession. We are entering the third year of a recession. We have the highest unemployment rate in the country, while the rest of the United States is enjoying an economic boom. We also, on top of that, have one of the highest costs of living. So taking away this permanent fund dividend check the way that it has been done the last 2 years is hurting and inflicting more harm and damage into our economy. And as ICER, a university research arm, has indicated, tampering with the permanent fund dividend check, cutting it back, has the most adverse impact upon our economy. So I encourage you not to tamper it with it right now. The other problem with this legislation is it fact, it reduces the people's money. First of all, it's discretionary, may, M-A-Y, and not shall be required. But it also reduces the take to the people from 50% to 33%. Again, for many of the reasons that I just stated, this is the wrong course of action to take. I encourage all of you to seriously think about our economy and where we're going. And not only that, but this also has very serious impact on those people with the lowest income and the lowest resources in our state.
Thank you, Ms. Vasquez. We've got a question or comment from Representative Guerra.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, former Representative Vasquez. One comment, one question. I think you'd be happy to know that last year the budget was lower than your last year in the legislature. And then the question is, we have been told by our legal department that as much as we want to use the word shall pay a dividend of this amount, we've been told that constitutionally we cannot use that word and we have to use the word may. So do you have a legal opinion on that that might help us?
Representative Guerra, can you please, I haven't seen that legal position or memo or letter. I would love to look at it. My email is Liz, L-I-Z, at LizVasquez.us, LizVasquez.us. If someone could send that over to me, that would be great. I'd be glad to look at that.
Representative Guerra, and also, and then we'll go to Representative Wilson, but I just want to mention for anybody who is interested in wanting to see that, that is online at the Alaska House Legislature's finance webpage for anybody else who might want to see that. Representative Guerra?
Thank you. And former Representative Vasquez, I meant to say that was the express testimony from the lead legislative attorney yesterday. We're still looking into it, but the testimony was we were not allowed to use the word shall, and we're still looking into it. Then I think the last comment is the purpose, as you know, when you were a legislator, the dividend was reduced to $1,000. And so the statute we have right now is not mandatory. It's not constitutionally enforceable. And I think folks on this committee are trying to find out something more enforceable than what we have on the statutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you were doing a constitutional amendment, would you just utilize, as you just said, that the formula which you believe has worked, or would you do a POMV and give less to the people? How would you write one?
I would have to study the issue further. It seems to me that this legislation with a percent of market value, acronym POMV, at 4.75, almost 5%. I believe there was some statements when I was down in Juneau about 2-3 years ago that may be too aggressive a draw. I would have to look at some of the opinions of some of the economists that have given advice or opinions on this. I mean, it seems to me that this almost 5% rule may be too aggressive. I mean, this past year has been very, very generous to the fund. The fund actually had a 12.89% increase. It was great year, but not every year is going to be great like that. We've had years where it's been down. So I would have to study that issue further. And I would have to see what the economists are saying about that.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And the second part of my question, would you enshrine a percentage, which is what this one does, at 66.33, or if you were going to enshrine something, would be at the current way that we now figure out what a dividend is?
I would enshrine the current way, 50-50. But again, I think... the percent of market value may work, This may be too aggressive. This may actually hurt in the long run the fund. I have to look at the yields for the past 30 years. They have been some awful years. I mean, there's been years when it's been just 2% increase or it's been down. So I would have to see. I think in light of 30 years, it may be too aggressive. I would have to study further the issue. But thank you for asking the question.
And do we have any other questions of the committee? I don't see any, so thank you for calling in. We will go to the Kenai LIO, Fred Sturman. If you could state your name and your affiliation, proceed with your two-minute testimony.
My name's Fred Sturman, and I want to do the same as the other guy from Cooper. Anyway, they do a fantastic job here at this LIO office here. I've always been able to come and get all the information I want. All right, well, I am against this here, and I think you guys should put in there instead of there, we must pay and get more certificates, and I think it should be 50-50. I've testified several times to you guys. I can't even get you to close the DMV here, which is only $20 million you can save, and there's a lot of other places you can close. I have a piece of paper here in front of me. That starts out, there's 53 people to the deal and 23 pages. They start out at almost 400,000 and they go down to 150,000 for salaries. You guys keep giving the employees down there raises every year. You keep making them pay their own insurance. There's a million things you guys can cut. Till you guys start cutting more, I'm not in favor of taking the PFD. Because of the younger generation, my grandkids are going to college now because we saved theirs and they've got enough money to pay cash for it. We've done fairly well with their money, but I have some younger ones that we need to do invest the same thing for them so they can go to college free and get out with free. And you legislators need to learn how to cut the budget down there and quit digging a hole deeper and deeper. You need to start filling that hole up and quit trying to raise more revenue out of the economy that has none. We've only got 43 businesses here in Kenai sold out that is closed up in the last 24 months. And at that, you need to learn how to spend money less. And don't pass this here and get on with working on your budgets instead of all this oddball stuff down in Juneau. And thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Sturman. Do we have any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions. Looks like our last testifier here today is in the room, Jasmine Lavimia, I believe. Is that if you could come to the table, put yourself on the record, and proceed.
Hi, for the record, my name is Jasmine Yermia. I am a 17-year-old high school student from Petersburg. I'm a senior, and I'm here to testify in support of a constitutional amendment to protect the permanent fund dividend. I think that the PFD should be constitutionalized because I believe all residents of Alaska deserve to have a share of Alaska's natural resource wealth. The money that funds the PFD originally came from the people's natural resources. In rural Alaskan towns like Petersburg, people depend on the PFD to offset the high cost of living in Alaska when paying for things like groceries and transportation. The PFD is integral in many people's lives, and it shouldn't be subject to the changing winds of politics. As a young Alaskan, I believe that the permanent fund dividend is very important to current residents of the state, and I would like to see it continue to support not only myself, but future generations, like my children and my children's children in the future. So thank you very much.
And thank you for stopping in. And are there any questions of the committee? I don't see any questions. We appreciate your taking the time. So with that, is there anybody else in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, is there anybody else online who I may have missed who would like to testify? I don't see any. So with that, we will close public testimony on HJR 23. And with that, we will set aside HJR 23. Just a reminder to folks that if they would like to submit amendments to HJR 23, please do so by 5 p.m. today and turn those into Jane Pearson in my office. And just another reminder also to folks who are watching on gavel to gavel or on TV there, you can also submit written testimony to House Finance at akleg.gov. Again, that's House Finance at akleg.gov. And so with that, we're going to take a brief at ease and we'll pass the gavel over. Okay, House Finance is back on record, and I think we will come back to the operating budget tomorrow, and so this will give folks some time to work on amendments for HJR 23 prior to the deadline today. So with that, our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, March 14th at 1:30 p.m. And at that meeting, we will take amendments for HJR 23, which is proposing amendments to the Alaska Constitution relating to the Alaska Permanent Fund. And then we will work on HB 285, mental health budget, and HB 286, the operating budget. So if there is nothing, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to let everybody know that I emailed everyone a package of the emails that I've been receiving. When I first put on Facebook, I couldn't remember the email for House Finance, but I wanted to make sure that everyone knows, and if anybody else has them, that we are making sure that they get placed into record. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else? Seeing none, House Finance will be adjourned at 2:52 p.m.